The headline says the economy just went through a growth spurt, but we need to keep an eye on the real people behind these fresh GDP numbers. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Last time we heard from GDP, it was running at a meager 1.4% annual rate. That was March to June. This morning, economic growth for July through September was revealed, a growth rate that has more than doubled to 2.9%. Let's check in with Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So 2.9% annual rate. I mean, that's looking much stronger than the quarter that preceded it.
Oh, no, it's really a terrific growth rate, almost 3%, of course, and the strongest since the middle of 2014. So it's not just better than last quarter, it's the best in a year and a half.
Yeah, we had those trade figures in the last few days. That also played out in this GDP report.
Well, that's right. And it was perhaps the biggest surprise because on a quarterly basis, even after economists factored in those recent trade numbers, the result we got today was even stronger still. Exports rising 10%. It's the biggest gain in years. Imports up a paltry 2.9. That combination suggests a significant narrowing of the trade deficit that added almost a full percentage point to growth.
All right, but before we get too carried away with an annualized growth rate of 2.9%, more than double of the previous quarter, there are some cautionary signs in this.
The negative side of it is that residential investment was down, and this is the second quarter in a row, and consumption was much slower, rose almost 4% in the second quarter. The two together, when you see residential investment negative and consumption slowing, it suggests that households are tightening their belts. And the reason that's a little worrisome is that households have effectively been carrying the economy on their own for the past year. And the Fed is, of course, contemplating a rate hike, which is going to make it even more difficult to spend money next year.
All right. Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bullying is a big concern in schools, and some teachers believe the intense rhetoric of the election is making things worse. Melania Trump has said she will work against online bullying, and yesterday Hillary Clinton proposed a federal program to give $500 million to states to develop anti-bullying strategies for schools. Funds will help pay for things like counselors and mental health programs. Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports.
10 minutes before I called middle school counselor Lindsay Ross, an eighth grader was in her office complaining about her best friend who's been calling her the B word.
A lot of boys now are calling her that at lunch, and she's really upset about it.
Ross is one of only two counselors at Northeastern Randolph Middle School in Liberty, North Carolina. She handles more than 300 students. Clinton's plan would give schools like Ross's more staff and tools to fight bullying.
I really think that efforts are needed, very, very needed, welcome, but they need to be very carefully designed and implemented.
Sherry Bauman is a bullying expert and professor at the University of Arizona. She says there's little research on what's effective, so certain trainings may not be useful, and they could be counterproductive. Bauman says all states already have anti-bullying laws in place, but in many cases,
there's no funding, just a mandate that you do things.
Under Clinton's program, states could receive $4 for every dollar they commit to anti-bullying. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
The Federal Communications Commission has approved new rules to give consumers rights to limit data about themselves. In a 3-2 vote, the FCC ruled that internet providers have to get customer consent before capitalizing on the info. Marketplace's Annie Baxter joins me now to explain. Annie?
The new rules say that companies like AT&T and Comcast need to get consumers' approval before gathering and sharing information like users' geolocation, social security numbers, and web browsing history. That kind of data is really valuable to third parties like advertisers because it can then be used as the basis for targeted advertising. It's worth noting that in AT&T's recently announced acquisition of Time Warner, executives talked about ramping up targeted advertising. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler said in a statement about the new rules that our lives and economy are increasingly moving online, and we need to safeguard consumer privacy. Internet privacy advocates agree and are cheering the new rules.
They're cheering, but internet providers are not thrilled.
Not so much. So one of the complaints is that the rules create an unlevel playing field on the internet and that there's now kind of a patchwork of rules. And that's because companies like Google and Facebook are not subject to these new rules. They're regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. That's a different agency. So that means Google doesn't have to ask permission to gather information on our web browsing habits. And AT&T Senior Vice President Joan Marsh said in a blog post that this divergent approach will confuse consumers. One FCC commissioner suggested that the government form an interagency council to harmonize the different rules.
Marketplace's Andy Baxter, thank you. And with Brexit, the British pound has been dropping. That means inflation for imports there. And even as Apple yesterday announced significant price increases for its new Macs in the United States, that trend could be amplified in the UK. Given Brexit, the list price of a 13-inch MacBook Pro, for instance, is up 25% in Britain since its launch, a Mac Mini up 20%, and that's for the previous models, not even the fresh ones. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.